Thank you for coming for the Sunday night service. Today's topic is fellowship. When Ray gave me this passage to prepare, I was thinking, you know, fellowship, it's a very simple topic, just like having coffee in the downstairs basement. But when I read the notes and read all the doctrinal stuff, that wasn't the case. So there is so much to learn on fellowship as we continue to fellowship here at Wauwatosa. And it's a great book that we are using for this series. It's titled New Testament Principles. So fellowship, let me jump to my next slide. So the definition of fellowship is mutual sharing, common interest in something. It comes from a Greek word. Like other brothers before me, I'll follow their lead and not try to pronounce the Greek letter here, but it means communion or communication. So fellowship is something that is often demonstrated. Fellowship requires participation. It is active and not passive. It is just the expression of the faith we have in serving the Lord and serving his people. So fellowship begins with our relationship with God. And some authors have said that it is a two-dimensional relationship. It has to be vertical before it can be horizontal. So one needs to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the prerequisite for Christian fellowship. So this whole rest of the section will be divided into, will deal with fellowship with God, what it means to have fellowship with God, and then we'll talk about fellowship with saints. So fellowship with God is a privilege, communion with God. It is the foundation of Christian fellowship is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So our God is faithful, and he has brought us into this close relationship with Christ, into this sweet communion with Christ. He showed his faithfulness when he did the great sacrifice for us on the cross. So much he longed to be with us, and so much he wanted to make a way for us so that he could have fellowship with us. And he did a great sacrifice on the cross for that. And also we read from 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So John here is sharing the gospel, inviting others into Christian fellowship so that he can share the fellowship that he has with the Father and Son, that we may enter into the same fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we know about God only by fellowshipping with him, and the Holy Spirit enables us to have that fellowship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So moving on. So in order to have this fellowship with Christ, the essential condition is walking in light. You cannot walk in darkness and say that, you have fellowship with God, as it is written in 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. I will just read it. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what John is saying, that there is, our God is light, there is no darkness in him. And our God is absolutely holy, absolutely righteous, absolutely pure. And he cannot look with favor on any form of sin. He's not okay with us sinning or living in sin or, you know, leading a sinful life. So if a man is in darkness, he cannot have anything common with God, because there is no darkness in God. And Romans continues the same theme here, and it tells us, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off anything related to unrighteousness or evil, and try to put on this armor of light. It's the same armor that we know, you know, all the analogy given to us, Roman soldiers in Ephesians, you know, 6 verse 14 through 18. This is the armor of light that helps us to lead a holy life. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, we read, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we know our God is light, and we are in the light now that we have become, you know, believers, and we are in the light, and we are the children of light. So we have to walk as children of light and not walk in darkness and not disrupt that fellowship. So if there is a disruption in fellowship, you know, John tells us how it's, the book of John, we read how it can be restored. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 to chapter 2, verse 2, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness, all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, our Father, you know, he paid a big price, you know, gave his life on the cross to have the fellowship. He's ready to forgive because of that, because of the blood that was shed. And he is ready to forgive all our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we also need this in our walk, Christian walk. We need this daily cleansing. We need to confess our sins. We need to keep a short account with God, because it's a dark place not to be in fellowship with God. And our Father is ready to forgive us. He's faithful and wants us to be in fellowship with him. Not only forgives, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, and then further we read in John that, you know, if we sin, we have an advocate who intercedes with the Father on our behalf. And I think this was shared a couple of years ago in worship, that, you know, if you get into trouble, you may want to make sure you have a good advocate, you know, on your behalf. And we have a very good advocate, and he's a righteous advocate. There is no unrighteousness in him. And he is the one who is interceding in our behalf, trying to restore the fellowship, because if the devil points us, hey, you know, look at this guy, he's, you know, he did something wrong, and how can you let that happen? And God can, you know, Jesus Christ can point to the cross, the, you know, finished work, the blood that was shed that covers all the sins, and there is forgiveness. So that is how, you know, in the book of John, we read, you know, if there is a disruption, there is a way to get that fellowship restored. And that is very essential as we walk as Christians in our daily walk with Christ. And what is the outcome of this fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ? What is this blessed consequence? So I'll read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. As divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when we were sinners, you know, we had no hope beyond the grave. You know, we really didn't have any hope. We were just living with this world and, you know, thinking that, you know, this is our life and, you know, and we have no hope after we, you know, die. And now that we are born again, we have this hope of this incorruptible inheritance that we'll enjoy in eternity. And he has given these promises. And what Peter is talking about is there's a list of promises, and some of them are like, you know, we have freedom from sin's dominion. We have, you know, the grace is sufficient for us and the forgiveness of our sins. So because of these promises, now we are partakers of this divine nature, and because of the fellowship we have in God. And we become, you know, once we start walking with him, we become more and more conformed to his image. We become more and more like him. And to be more like him, we need to know more about him. And that happens by, you know, reading about him in the scriptures. So we'll move on to the next section, which is fellowship with saints. And it all is the fundamental idea behind, you know, the fellowship with saints is the doctrine of the apostles' doctrine, as it is told in said in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers." And we have heard this many times in our congregation. So the apostles' doctrine is the basis of Christian fellowship. During the early church, when people came to faith as new believers, you know, they were so happy. They found this new joy. And now, you know, instead of being with the world, instead of being with their old friends, old groups, they know they are set apart and they desire to be with the people of God. And same is true today, you know, and that is like an evidence of salvation, like a changed man. He wants to be with the same changed people, you know, who believe in Christ. So, and the early church, they kept up with the communion of saints, and they had a great deal of love for each other, just like we have in our chapel here. Also, great deal of mutual conversation. Whenever they met, you know, they would meet one disciple, two disciple, and they all gathered and talked. And after being saved, you know, they have this new life, and we see in other religions, okay, oh, now I have this new found, you know, revelation, and now let me isolate myself, let me become a hermit, and, you know, be away from all this worldly stuff to, you know, talk to God. No, it's not like that. Here, this continued in fellowship with one another. They were concerned for each other. They sympathized for one another. And they were in one accord. There was no discord in them. And they knew the importance of Christian fellowship early on. And the expression of the fellowship is what we see in breaking of bread. Breaking of bread doesn't create a fellowship. It's just the expression of a fellowship that we have in Christ. And fellowship with saints also involves today, like encouraging each other and, you know, getting together with other people in the church, you know, outside the church. I met a brother last week who is from a Catholic background. I don't think he knew Lord at that time when he was coming to our chapel. And he was saying that one day he, you know, he was not a believer. He just came downstairs and he was having coffee, and someone just asked him a question, you know, "How's your walk with Lord?" And that question itself, you know, made him reflect upon his relationship with Christ, because he was from a Catholic background. I think he already knew, you know, he thought he already knew what Christianity is. And that fellowship with Christ, by the brother asking that question, was shared with him, you know, with that question, and encouraging each other. And, you know, my kids, because of COVID, you know, they were in virtual school for the past 1 year or so, and I would sometimes, you know, see these teachers, you know, every day, you know, like my younger son was just learning how to spell and read. And they will keep encouraging the kids day in and day out. They make a lot of mistakes, but they'll keep encouraging. Just encouraging to meet, help them meet the goal, to meet, succeed in, you know, the phonics or whatever they are trying to learn. And we are in the same situation. You know, we know we are in this path. We are, destination is the same. The path is the same. We are together. So we can, you know, encourage each other. And, you know, perhaps a word of encouragement will help them go through that weekend. That's all it takes. So it's said in Hebrews 10 verse 24-25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is drawing near. So that's encouragement, from reading Hebrews 10. And we'll continue on with fellowship with the saints, and we'll dwell about on praying together. And, you know, we have this prayer meetings Wednesday. You know, we have so many prayers that have gone before the Lord, so many prayers that have been answered, and many prayed for many causes, you know, together for each other's needs. And there was a wonderful fellowship in prayer, and that fellowship brings all of us closer together. And, you know, God really answered a lot of our prayers, and that is one kind of fellowship we have in the saints by praying together. And then next, we go on to, you know, fellowship with saints, fellowship of substance, or fellowship in sharing material needs. So we'll read from Philippians 4 verse 14. It says, you know, nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. So here Paul is writing, he wants the Philippians to know that they have done well during Paul's time of affliction. Actually, Paul was in prison at that time, and this Philippian church had sent some money to Paul, you know, because of course he is without money, without anything. So Paul wanted them to know how thankful he is for, you know, fellowshipping with him in that situation by sending that gift to him. And Hebrews 13:6, we read, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So this may need, this may mean, you know, contribution to the needs of a missionary, that we have fellowship with them in that work. Maybe someone is going through some hard times and they need that help. So the church is uses the offering for all these different needs, and we share, or we have fellowship with those people in those needs by, you know, our contribution. So that's another way, you know, you can have fellowship in with the saints, with fellowship of substance. Next, we read, also before going into the next topic, not only money, you know, it can be time, it can be your talents. So it's like some of our brothers got together here in the chapel, and they were, they fixed someone's house that needed some repairs. Many people, you know, help with moving, you know, fixing someone's microphone, you know, a lot of things that can be done, and helping out some people that they were having some surgery. So one of the chapel I used to attend, you know, one of the young kids, he was good in math, and he will teach all other kids, you know, every Sunday who are weak in math, you know, give them, help them with math. So there are many avenues you can help and be in fellowship in that aspect. So, and there are so many other examples from this chapel itself. And then we'll jump on to the next verse. It says, let them who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So we have many gifted, you know, preachers, be it, you know, virtual or in person, many people who came and shared the full-time ministers. They are, you know, doing Lord's work, and they have blessed us with that ministry. So we can, you know, we should pray for them, for their needs, and have fellowship with them in all, you know, with them in any way we can. And next we jump on to Romans 12, 13, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And this is a very well-known topic. I may not go much into it. There is also another verse in Hebrews 13, 12, do not forget to entertain strangers. So hospitality for any of those who are in need of it. So in my home assembly, my church evangelist, he had his house attached to the chapel, and every Sunday morning, you know, he will make, there was a family who has to come from a long distance for the breaking of bread, and they have to take the bus. So he will prepare, you know, most Sunday mornings, he will prepare them the breakfast, many times lunch too. Other than, you know, he has to then teach the Sunday school and then give the Sunday sermon, and he used to do a lot of things. So that way he was showing his hospitality. Probably he's even doing it today, and, you know, because they live in the same place, probably they still come by bus, I don't know. But, you know, that is the kind of hospitality that, you know, people who are in need, who because of their circumstances, you know, we can show them hospitality in many different ways. And we'll jump on to the next slide. And then we come to the topic of fellowship with saints, and it is the fellowship of suffering. So we'll read Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So we know Paul was ready to suffer for Christ. He was ready to take the same path that Christ took, even though, you know, his sufferings doesn't have the, because the work is already done, but he wanted to, he knew more about Christ. He wanted to be just like Christ. And it was inconsistent for him if he would live a life of luxury in a world where Christ was, you know, rejected and beaten and crucified. He didn't want to live a different life. He wanted to live a same life. And in today's world, there is, you know, persecution for Christians all around the world. And they are ready to endure all these sufferings because of the joy they have in Christ. And we can participate in the suffering. You know, they are our fellow believers. We can pray for them, help them in any way we can. And also in the next verse, we read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, resist him steadfast in faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And here it talks about the spiritual warfare. And I guess this morning one of our brothers shared about this during the worship. And sometimes when we go through these sufferings and, you know, problems, we somehow feel that, you know, okay, my situation is unique. I am the only one who is going through all this, or, you know, everybody else seems to be okay. But Peter wants you to know that, no, these are the same sufferings, you know, because of your steadfast walk in Christ. You know, many people experience the same thing. And he's encouraging them, you know, to resist the devil. And there are a lot, all the fellow believers go through the same thing. And we can pray for each other in that aspect. And, you know, we don't want anyone to suffer alone. Really like this Wednesday meeting, our brother Dan shared a prayer request, you know, that if anyone is lonely, you know, and wants Christian fellowship, we pray that God give him that fellowship. So we should pray about that. We should, because we don't want them to go endure, or, you know, in all things, joy and happiness and different needs, we can all continue this walk together in Christ. And And, you know, let us continue to encourage one another, continue to have that Christian fellowship that we have here at Wauwatosa in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you.